tonight, the search for answers in the massacre in an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado and the heroes who prevented even more bloodshed. Five killed, more than two dozen hurt when a gunman with an assault-style rifle opened fire inside the club where a drag show was taking place. A stunned survivor describes hiding out in a dressing room. Clothing on the sidewalk tells the story of the chaos, plus the patrons who subdued the suspect and held him until police arrived. Also tonight, were warning signs missed? What we're learning about the suspect's prior encounter with police and why drag shows like the one in Colorado Springs are increasingly being targeted, how President Biden is responding. Matt Gutman on the scene. Aaron Katursky is standing by. The monster snowstorm, a bowling alley collapses under 6 feet of snow. The National Guard is called in as millions dig out. Rob Marciano is tracking the bitter cold blast and a possible late week storm as millions travel for Thanksgiving. Twitter reinstates Donald Trump, but will he return to the platform? And new trouble for the former president as top Republican presidential contenders turn on him. Rachel Scott on the race for 2024. New details in the murder mystery at the University of Idaho, including a flurry of phone calls from one of the victims in the hours right before the gruesome attack. Authorities holding a press conference late today. The close call as an asteroid whizzes through the night sky, where NASA scientists say the meteorite pieces landed. And the winter heating crisis, a perfect storm of factors could add up to record fuel costs. The simple steps that could save you up to 20% on your bill.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this busy Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. Tonight, a Colorado community is reeling after a massacre at a popular LGBTQ plus club in Colorado Springs claimed at least five lives. More than two dozen people were hurt. In response to the brutal attack, the state's openly gay governor said, "My heart breaks." First responders arrived on the scene just minutes after the first call came in of a gunman opening fire. Witnesses say two heroic patrons inside stopped the shooter. Police say the 22-year-old suspect was armed with an assault-style rifle, and they're now investigating the incident as a possible hate crime. The suspect was injured and apprehended at the scene. Law enforcement officials tell ABC News that he was arrested last year after an alleged bomb threat incident. Tonight, a memorial is growing at the scene of the attack with flowers and notes left in honor of the victims. And President Biden released a statement saying, "We cannot and must not tolerate hate." We have team coverage beginning with ABC's chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, from Colorado Springs.
Tonight, that deadly shooting inside an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs.
We do have multiple criticals.
Five people killed, at least 25 wounded in the latest mass shooting to rip into a community in America. Clothes and medical supplies left strewn on the sidewalk, remnants of the panic and chaos there. Survivor Joshua Thurman was celebrating his birthday and was dancing inside Club Q, the only nightclub of its kind in this city, when he heard those gunshots.
It was so scary. I heard shots, broken glass, bodies. It was... How? Why?
Police say the alleged gunman, 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich, who had been charged in connection with bomb threats against his parents last year, was armed with an AR-style rifle and multiple magazines. Club Q had been hosting a drag show when he entered, opening fire immediately. Officials describing two clubgoers as heroes tonight.
Did the suspect surrender?
So we actually had two incredibly brave, at least two, incredibly brave citizens that were inside the club. And as soon as they could, they grabbed onto him and detained him for us. And they potentially stopped a lot of people from getting killed.
Police say the initial call about an active shooter came in just before midnight. Officers dispatched the scene, arriving within about 3 minutes. 2 minutes after that, they say, the alleged gunman was detained. Police say the suspect suffered injuries and had to be hospitalized. Authorities say at least two guns, including that AR-style rifle, were recovered at the scene, and the massacre is being investigated as a hate crime.
I just don't understand what leads people to do something so hateful, so evil to anybody, much less, you know, targeting any particular groups of people.
And tonight, we're learning more about those who were killed, including 28-year-old Daniel Davis Aston, who worked as a bartender at the club. His mother telling ABC News her youngest son, Daniel, was amazing and that he was our baby. President Biden releasing a statement late today calling the attack senseless, saying we cannot and must not tolerate hate. And the nation's first openly gay governor, Jared Polis of Colorado, speaking out.
And an entire community traumatized and frankly, really LGBTQ people across the country seeing what happened in Orlando and now happened here.
And that clubgoer, Joshua Thurman, wondering tonight if he and others in the local LGBTQ community can ever feel safe again.
What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? How are we supposed to feel safe in our environment when it just got shot up?
The entire community deeply wounded. Matt joins us now from the scene in Colorado Springs. And Matt, you just spoke with the police chief. What did he say about the direction of this investigation?
Lindsay, the chief said they're going through a tremendous amount of evidence. You can see some of that work happening behind me. They're talking to eyewitnesses. There is surveillance video of the moment of the attack as well that they're poring over. But they're also trying to ascertain how it was that the suspect obtained that AR-style weapon and when he did it and whether it was lawful for him to do so given those charges that he faced last year, which included kidnapping and bomb threats. Lindsay.
Right. Questions about the red flag laws in place. Matt, thank you. Tonight, as investigators comb through the suspect's past, some are asking if warning signs were missed. Here's ABC senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky.
Tonight, investigators are trying to understand what led to a rampage at a place known as a haven for the gay community of Colorado Springs. Officials say part of the investigation includes a prior encounter the suspect had with law enforcement. Just last year, Anderson Lee Aldrich was arrested near Colorado Springs for allegedly threatening to harm his mother with a bomb and weapons. A tactical team was called. Neighbors were evacuated. While no explosives were found, Aldrich was charged with kidnapping and menacing. The local sheriff told ABC News he did not recall the incident and didn't know whether a stricter red flag law could have made a difference. But the prior arrest raises a question of how someone charged with felonies and accused of being a threat was able to arm himself and allegedly carry out a mass shooting.
Aaron Katursky joins us tonight. And Aaron, police still have not stated a motive here.
They haven't, but they are investigating this as a hate crime, Lindsay. And it comes, the attack does, at a time when anti-gay rhetoric is among the most prevalent and violent content online. Almost immediately, the shooting drew praise in some of the darkest, ugliest corners of the internet. And that has law enforcement officials concerned about possible copycats.
And we know you'll be staying on this. Aaron, thanks so much. Next tonight, there are urgent concerns in parts of upstate New York where the weight of more than 6 feet of snow is taking its toll on homes and businesses. At least 3 people died. These images show the extent of the accumulation. New York's governor says this is one for the record books. ABC's Matt Rivers is in Hamburg, New York tonight.
Tonight, digging out from record snowfall, already blamed for at least 3 deaths.
This is a lot, but hey, if you live in Buffalo, you have to expect all this.
Some towns just south of Buffalo seeing more than 6 feet of snow, at times piling up at 6 inches per hour.
There's so much snow here, it's completely buried these cars, and it's also very heavy. That's why those guys are up on that roof right there, trying to clear it off.
Because this is what can happen when you don't. The roof of this historic bowling alley collapsed under the weight of all this snow.
It's been my family for 100 years and started by my grandpa.
It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah, devastating. I put my whole life into this place.
Crews out working 24 hours a day to clear the streets. Dump trucks dropping off snow in this parking lot. Bulldozers creating a mini mountain of snow. 77 inches falling on Orchard Park, home of the Buffalo Bills. AccuWeather capturing this video of the now buried stadium from above. Today's game against the Browns moved to Detroit.
From the plow operators that plowed out driveways to the fans that went to players' houses and snowblowed and shoveled them out of things. It's an unbelievable team effort.
So small mountains of snow like the couple behind me are now ubiquitous in this region, some 10, 15, even 20 feet high. So that means that there are at least a few more days of cleanup ahead after a truly historic snowfall. Lindsay.
And the frigid temperatures certainly don't help with the cleanup. Matt, thank you. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist, Mr. Rob Marciano. Rob, sounds like the worst of the snow is over.
It is over, the worst of it at least, but there's still some bands that are ongoing. Check out these two distinct plumes coming off Lake Erie and Lake Ontario between Syracuse and Watertown and between Buffalo and Erie. Just a few more inches out of this, and then we'll start to wind things down. But that cold is going to remain at least through tomorrow morning. Wind chills, even some of the bigger cities will be in the teens and 20s, moderating somewhat come Tuesday and Wednesday. But we are watching now a developing system potentially on Thanksgiving morning, eastern Texas, Louisiana, riding up through the Tennessee Valley into the Carolinas on Friday. We'll see a rain event. Our computer model's wrestling with this, but may develop into something substantial and through D.C., Baltimore, New York by Saturday morning and through Saturday afternoon, potentially winding up and through New England. We'll be watching that during a busy travel season. Lindsay?
All right, Rob, our thanks to you. Next to politics, and a fight is already brewing for the Republican presidential nomination. Potential White House hopefuls are now turning on former President Trump at a time when one of his favorite megaphones has just been restored. ABC's Rachel Scott reports from Las Vegas.
Tonight, Donald Trump's Twitter account restored just days after announcing his third bid for the White House. Twitter's new owner, Elon Musk, asking users if Trump should be brought back, announcing on Saturday, the people have spoken. Trump will be reinstated. For years, Twitter was Trump's biggest megaphone, but the platform banned the former president 2 days after the January 6th insurrection, concerned about the risk of further incitement of violence.
I think it's a terrible mistake. As we showed in the January 6th hearings, the president used that platform to incite that attack on the Capitol.
For now, Trump says he's not interested in coming back, sticking to his own platform.
But I hear we're getting a big vote to also go back on Twitter. I don't see it because I don't see any reason for it.
Trump's campaign now under the shadow of a special counsel, overseeing two investigations into the former president. Several Republicans who could challenge him in 2024, signaling this weekend the party must head in a new direction, especially after a disappointing midterm election.
We just lived through a disheartening election. It should be a wake-up call for all of us.
Personality and celebrity just aren't going to get it done. We can see that.
Let's stop supporting crazy, unelectable candidates in our primaries and start getting behind winners.
We as Republicans and our elected leaders must do more than criticize and complain.
Somewhat veiled attacks against Trump there. Rachel Scott joins us now from Las Vegas, where GOP leaders gathered with the Republican Jewish Coalition this weekend. Rachel, what do experts say would happen if Trump is indicted? Would he still be able to run?
Well, Lindsay, legal experts say that even if former President Donald Trump were to be indicted, an indictment alone could not bar him from continuing to run for president. Of course, any indictment still an open question. The special counsel has a lot of work ahead of it. Lindsay?
Yeah, you bet they do. Rachel, thank you. We turn now to Idaho and the deepening mystery surrounding the murders of four college students near their campus. Investigators are now revealing new details as they try to piece together a timeline and motive in this grisly murder. Here's ABC's Zareen Shah.
Tonight, new clues in the murder of four college students at their house near the University of Idaho. The sister of one of the students, Kaylee Gonzalez, saying she discovered at least six calls made to a boyfriend in the wee hours of the morning shortly before she died.
I was able to get a pretty good timeline on Kaylee and Maddie the night of. From about 10:15 until shortly before 3 a.m.
But Kaylee's family saying they strongly believe that boyfriend is not involved. Detectives say they are looking into the calls as they attempt to uncover what happened to Kaylee and her roommates, Madison Mogan and Zanna Kernodal, and Zanna's boyfriend, Ethan Chapin. Police say they were all stabbed multiple times, likely while sleeping, by a Rambo-style knife. Adding two other roommates sleeping in another area heard nothing, slept through the killings. Police not suspecting those roommates of any wrongdoing. Kaylee and Madison were last seen at this food truck before leaving with a rideshare driver who police believe is not involved. This TikTok shows Kaylee, Madison, and Zanna inside the home weeks before they died, with their surviving roommates.
I don't want them to feel that guilt because I don't think that anything that they would have done could have changed this for the better.
and 50 law enforcement officials are on this case, including the FBI. And police are holding a press conference right now with updates as we speak. Lindsay.
Zoreen, thank you. Now to the bus crash horror outside Boston. One Brandeis University student was killed, several others injured when their bus crashed on the way back from a school hockey game. Authorities are now trying to determine the cause. Here's ABC's Phil Lipoff.
Tonight, a 25-year-old graduate student is dead, dozens more injured after this violent bus crash near the campus of Brandeis University, west of Boston.
Reported several injuries. People kept climbing out of the vehicle now.
The shuttle bus chartered by Brandeis carrying students back from a hockey game at Northeastern University, rolling over and crashing into a tree just before 11 Saturday night. The bus totaled, windows shattered, debris lining the sidewalk, and by morning, skid marks visible in the grass. All students and the driver taken to area hospitals. Most have been released.
This was a terrible and tragic accident that took place on South Street last night. A student died, and our entire community is gathering as we work to work through this and to give each other emotional support.
And Lindsay, tonight, investigators still trying to piece together what happened in the moments before that crash. Five people still being treated at hospitals tonight. Lindsay.
Phil, thank you. We turn now to the war in Ukraine. New shelling is reported at Europe's largest nuclear power plant. The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog agency is condemning the strike, saying those responsible are, quote, playing with fire. And they come as Russia steps up attacks on Ukrainian infrastructure. ABC's Tom Sufi Burge reports tonight from Ukraine.
Tonight, the UN sounding the alarm as Europe's largest nuclear power plant once again damaged by shelling. Russia and Ukraine blaming each other. The UN's nuclear watchdog saying whoever is responsible is playing with fire. And with temperatures plunging, half of Ukraine's energy system now crippled by Russian missile strikes, according to officials.
You were doing critical surgery in this room, the rockets were falling, and you lost the power.
Dr. Oleg Duda and his team then keeping calm and continuing to operate in the dark. The patient was really scared, he tells me, but we managed to finish the surgery in difficult conditions.
You look like very brave girls.
Yes.
Tonight, the power was out in Solomia's home, a mum to four young girls.
You're staying positive despite everything.
The war is making us more resilient, she says.
And tonight, President Zelensky saying engineers are working around the clock to get energy facilities back online. Lindsay?
We are seeing that resilience, Tom. Thank you. The war in Ukraine is one of the factors contributing to record heating costs this winter. And with the recent cold temperatures in parts of the country, many Americans are already feeling the pinch. Here's ABC's Alexis Christophorus with tips on saving money while staying warm.
Tonight, with the coldest air of the season sweeping across the country, millions bracing for a winter heating crisis. Costs expected to rise a record 28% on average.
I've been in the business 40 years. I have never, ever seen a winter like this.
Robert Spiegel owns a home heating business in New York and says supplies are at a 15-year low.
Right now, there's no reason to see that inventories are going to build as quickly as we would like.
Experts blaming a perfect storm of factors: low supplies of diesel, heating oil, and natural gas, a massive refinery shortage, and a global supply crunch due to the war in Ukraine.
We didn't turn the heat on as earlier as we usually do just to save a couple bucks.
Homeowners Joe and Roseanne Tripodo say the soaring costs are already forcing them to cut back.
So things like going out to dinner or, you know, something's got to give, so we tighten up our belts where we can.
Experts say you could save at least 20% on your heating bills by keeping your thermostat at 68 degrees, plugging up leaks around doors and windows, and insulating crawl spaces, basements, and attics. The big wild card now, how cold will this winter be? Lindsay?
Keep it set on 68, Alexis. Thank you. There's so much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. How a timely arrest may have broken up a plot to attack a New York synagogue. And heartbreak in Raleigh. A child is struck and killed at a Christmas parade. Now a truck driver is facing charges.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, a community in Raleigh, North Carolina, is in mourning after a tragic accident at a Christmas parade. An 11-year-old girl was struck and killed yesterday by a truck that was carrying a float. Witnesses say they heard the driver screaming that he'd lost control. Spectators helped slow the truck down. The 20-year-old driver is charged with misdemeanor death by motor vehicle. Here in New York, two men are charged in what's being called a developing threat to the Jewish community. They were intercepted early yesterday at Penn Station. Police say one of them, Christopher Brown, had purchased a gun and was carrying a knife and a Nazi armband. Police say Brown told police he runs a white supremacist Twitter group and had posted his intent to use the weapons at a Manhattan synagogue. To the index now, what a sight in the skies over Canada. An asteroid was captured soaring past the Toronto skyline early Saturday morning. Astronomers spotted it way out in space, and a number of cameras picked it up when it entered the Earth's atmosphere. Scientists believe fragments may have fallen in Ontario, not far from Niagara Falls. And another milestone for President Biden. Today, he turned 80 years old, the first president to do so in office. He celebrated with a birthday brunch at the White House. It's been quite a weekend for him. Yesterday, his granddaughter, Naomi Biden, got married to Peter Neal on the South Lawn of the White House. Tonight, a shaken Colorado Springs is united in grief after the massacre at an LGBTQ nightclub, now being investigated as a possible hate crime. A 22-year-old suspect is under arrest. All day, people have been drawn to Club Q to mourn the five people killed and to pray for the more than two dozen who were injured. A mother and daughter were among the many who stopped by the growing memorial. They, like so many, asking the question, why? And we were struck by this message. Among the flowers, a simple note urging love over hate. Much more on GMA first thing in the morning. David Muir right back here tomorrow night. I'm Lindsay Davis in New York. Have a great night.